leaves God's country, and because of, I guess, fear of famine and fear of things, the unknown, and they moved to a place called Moab. And Elimelech, Bible says, only intended to stay there a short time, I'm sure, but ended up staying up 10 years. Well, a lot can happen in 10 years. And we find why it's important to make good choices then. I believe that, you know, this first verse here gets our attention and it introduces to us what's about to happen. And God helping me, I'm going to preach a little bit today, tonight, on this thought here. Stay put.
Amen.
Just stay put.
Amen.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we ask you for your help, Lord. God, we're just about man. But Lord, I'm glad I can trust in the new supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to help us. God, you've already moved in here. You stirred hearts. And God, I pray that nothing we say do would hinder, but Lord, that it might be more of this going on, Lord God, in our hearts and our souls. And Lord God, we might truly just expect you to do even more, Lord God. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd help your preacher. God, I pray that you just have your way. And may we give you all the praise, all the glory. We're asking that wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And for his sake we pray. Amen. We'll turn your attention again to verse number 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. You know, Ruth, you know, when you read it, you know, it says there that there was, first of all, now. There's a connection. That word always is a conjunction word. It's a word that, you know, kind of tells you, gets your attention. It's a connection word. The word now connects this book with the book of Judges. The Bible says in the book of Judges that there was a time when men, you know, that when men went and did things in their own way, there was no king that ruled over them. Look up there, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that tells us, you know, that the book of Ruth is connected with Judges. And all of our lives, and most of us in here, our lives are connected in some way to some things. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us live unto themselves, and no man dies to himself. And as Christians, you know, we sojourn. We're leaving an imprint on other people. And I tell you, the signs of the time that's going on these days, there's no excuse to live loose and to live what you want. Amen. There's no excuse for us to run off from where God put us. And I believe tonight we need to heed a warning from the Word of God, because this book tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, a man always wants to do it his way, but it never comes to nothing good. Amen? But I'll tell you, the Bible says there was a connection. Number two, I want to say, there was a time. Bible says here that he was, you know, it goes on and says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. The events transpire, you know, here about 450 years when the judges ruled. Eight times in the book of Judges, a cycle takes place. Eight times. God's people sin. Then God sends judgment. Then God's people repent. And then God sends a deliverer and to rescue them out. And then it starts all over again. The people sin again. And you know, there's only one thing we ever learn from history. And it's that a man never learns from history. Amen. We're committing the same mistakes, the same foolishness that these people have committed, you know, since the beginning of time. You and I are no different. Amen. We get in the church, folks, and we see people do something, and we'll sit there and say, they're wrong. They're wrong. But we'll turn right around and do the same thing that they're doing that's wrong. Amen. We're the same way. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from such a death? You know, he knew where he was. Amen. The greatest Christian ever lived. Still have trouble with that flesh. Amen. You think you got the flesh defeated tonight? You need to come over here to the altar. Amen. Listen, the reason why some of you didn't get stirred a while ago, the reason why some of you didn't get excited a while ago, is because that stinking flesh hindered you. Amen. That flesh didn't want you to make a fool out of yourself, but long before you were ever saved, you went out there in that stinking world, and you made a fool of yourself for the devil. Amen. You did a lot of stupid things for the devil, but when it comes down to giving glory and worship to the Lord, folks, we keep our mouth shut. Amen. I tell you what, folks, it's the time that we ought to just rejoice, amen, and shout it out and praise the Lord, because, folks, some of you ain't staying put. You don't want to stay where God put you. So you got problems. I tell you tonight, folks, don't be a wanderer. This old boy would have problems. God sends a deliverer, you know, to rescue them. Two times, the result of the judgment was famine. The only thing we learn, you see, is man never learns from that. Mankind seems to be bent on repeating over and over the failures of his past. Man, I'll tell you what, the time we're living in right now, we're living in the era of the lukewarm church. Maybe the church ain't concerned about the things of God no more. Amen. I tell you, when that video y'all looked at last night, we looked at, and Brother Charlie at his house, we're staying with the preacher, so I stayed there and I told him, I said, that's you. I said, that's you. And Miss Myra laughed and he said, he got that right. I said, Brother Charlie, that's you. Now, then my wife said, no, that's you. He said, you do that every Sunday. He said, you tear up somebody. If you ever been in our church service, folks, I get personal. I mean, when I'm preaching, somebody's sleeping, I go walk up to them and say, hey, knothead, you need to wake up. Or go out of here and go sleep somewhere. We're not in here sleeping. We're having church. I say stuff like that, you know. Some of my people laughed about it last night. They said, Brother Calvin, we thought you was hard, man. I'll tell you what. He said, I'm glad, you know, that somebody else believes like you believe. Amen. But I tell you what, folks, if a man of God come and kind of correct you and kind of keep you awake and kind of keep you straight, man, you ought to shout around and say, thank God, I got a man of God that cares about my soul, cares about my family, cares about people that I come to church with. Hey, folks, ain't too many people out there care about you. Now, let me tell you something else. It says there, and it came to pass in the days when the judges rule. It came to pass. There's a result. There's always consequences for our action. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, that black preacher said, well, I like that verse when it said it come to pass. He said, no matter where you're at, he said, it always come to pass. Amen. But sometimes, you know what? It takes longer. Sometimes you sit there and you get to wonder about it and thinking, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Of course, I'll sure be glad when it come to pass. But right now, I'm going through it, you know. There's always a result of what we're doing, our actions. Was it one of Newton's third law of motion? For every action, there is an equal in size opposition in the other direction. Amen. I mean, there's a reaction force. You know, you don't ever do anything or go anywhere without affecting somebody. People are looking at us. Amen. Bible says there was a famine in the land. Now, there's a wake-up call. God sounded an alarm. That famine was a result of God getting His people attention about their need to get right with Him. God sent something in your life to get attention. Amen. You might be enjoying sin right now. You might think you're getting away with something right now, but I guarantee you, folks, your time will come. Nobody ever gets away with what they want all the time. I'm telling you what, there's going to be, you know, when my dad was at work years ago, us boys, you know, seven of us, and I always thought that we'd get away with something. But what we didn't know was when Dad went over the hill, our neighbor was over the hill, and it happened to be my dad's brother. And he stopped there and he said, won't you watch my boys and tell me what happens? Man, he had a lookout, and boy, we thought we'd get away with everything. I remember one time my dad came home, and boy, we killed an animal, and we busted the porch with a wagon, and we acted like nothing was wrong. Dad walked in and he took us over to the barn and he said, I'm going to whip every one of you. And at that time, I was running track and I was the fastest on my brothers, you know, all his brothers. And I thought I'll just outrun him. So he's standing out there right here on this side of the barn and the other door's over on that side of the barn. And I thought, I'm going to take a beeline for that door and I'll watch him. I'll outrun him. He won't whip me. All the other brothers done got whooped and it came down to me. And when he took that whoop, you know, he's holding it, and then I took off. And he dropped that whip, took two steps, and took a long mule whip. And by the time I hit that door, man, that whip was on my back. Man, I just went like this and started screaming and hollering. And he said, teach you to try to outrun me. Some of you may never really understand some of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, there's a lesson to be learned. God will give you a wake-up call. I'm telling you, Bible tells us over there, one of the preachers this week preached on that thought over there, and that text, I should say, over there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. One of the things that God said, that you turn from your wicked ways. The reason why God sends spiritual famines and the things in our life is so that we can turn from those things that we're involved in. Hey, the famine in the land didn't say it was in Bethlehem, though, you know. I like that. It didn't say it was in Bethlehem. It says it was in the land, so I probably false fear here. But Naomi said she left Bethlehem full, but she returned empty. Now, you know, many wrong decisions are made because of fear and not because of reality. Fear is a powerful motivator. Did you know that? I mean, folks, fear, fear get a hold of you, folks. There's a lot of people tonight, you know what, they're just do nothings because fear's got a hold of them. I know the fear of us, you know, like if we ever experience some famine, you mean, that might be the very thing God used to turn this country around. Amen. We'd like to see God turn this country around. But you know what? We live in a country where we're just so blessed. I mean, folks, none of us are going to go to bed tonight without another meal. Most of us are going to get up tomorrow morning. Everything's prepared. Everything's taken care of for us. You know, but, you know, Naomi came back with a bitter spirit, you know. And she came back bitter, not better. And all because of fear. Fear drove her off. There's a lot of imaginary fear going on. And notice there was a man. Bible says, and there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Bible calls him, verse 2, Elimelech. Elimelech means, my God is king. Boy, he sure didn't act like it. I mean, most of the time, we're our worst enemy. Amen? Most of the time, folks, we're not what we should be. Amen. We often have no one to blame for where we're at or what we're up to. The real problems in our life, folks, are pretty much self-started. Amen. Listen, a lot of times we run into situations where we have problems and we try to blame other people. You know what we need today in America? A revival of manhood. Amen. We need some men to play the man. What the last thing David said to Solomon, he said, show thyself a man. That's what he told him. These dying words were, son, I want you to show yourself the man. Well, I tell you what, the reason why, when David in his old age, when he went over there to fight in that battle, and folks, he was tired, and he almost got killed by a giant, and one of his men had to come in and kill him for him, and all the men said, David, you don't need to come to battle with us. But I'll tell you one thing, the reason why those men were fearless, and they went to battle with him, because he showed himself a man. He stuck it out. Amen. He didn't say, hey, I'm old now. You guys go ahead and handle the job, you know, and I'm just at the age where I can't do it no more. No, no. He was a man. You know, and like I said, you know, the thing that about Elimelech, he's probably not the only man to leave and run from his problem. Amen. There are probably men in here right now running from your problem. Amen. Men who don't rely on God. Men who don't have no power. You know what? We need a revival of men with power. Know how to get a hold of the power of God. Amen. Learn how to say things and do things with the power of God. Your power, my power, ain't even enough. We need the power of God. Oh God, give us, raise up some young preachers and raise up some young ladies that have the touch of God on them. Amen. That would do something for God. Amen. Listen, we're in a crisis right now. The independent fundamental Bible-believing movement. We don't have the number of people that need to get up and just fill a pulpit or fill up a preacher that's gone simply because they don't have the power. Oh God, give us some men that have some power. I mean, just rear back and preach and let God do the work. Amen. If your God is king, act like it. Amen. And listen, if you don't know how, fake it until you learn. Amen. We need men of power. We need men of principle. That means just stay put. God gave us some men. God gave us some men. Amen. Just to stand their ground. I like that man that stood on that pea patch and he said, I don't care, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand my ground. And he stood there, folks, and I'll tell you what, from sun up to sundown, one guy over there killed 800 men. Another guy killed 300 men. I'll tell you what, listen, another guy killed a lion-like man in the pit on a snowy day. And some of us, they only take the snow to drive us away. I've been down here in Birmingham and around this place during the winter time. It's a joke, man. Get a little bit of snow, just a dusting, and nobody goes to school. They don't have no. Y'all don't know what it means to have a snow plow. Back home, man, we got snow plows. The snow will be above me, but man, we're going to school. Amen. We just fight the snow, to fight the elements. It's kind of funny. I come down here, and Brother Charlie says, Be careful now, brother. You go out there. He said, you're liable to get scared of your own shadow because there ain't nobody on the road.
Amen.
You know, we got men today that run from false things.
Amen.
Listen, we need to not give into the territory, our territory up, I should say. I mean, listen, a lot of people have been giving up their territory. We gave up too much ground. We're diverted from the cause of Christ. Amen. We've been diverted from the very job and responsibility we've been given. Amen. Brother Tab said, you know, he said to the Indian, he said, I apologize, but, you know, he's not an Indian giver. And I told him at lunch, I said, brother, you got that wrong. I said, it's the white man you need to apologize to. And you need to apologize for the white man. I said, that phrase was coined telling the white man, you know, that he's an Indian giver. He gave to the Indian, then he took back. And let me just tell you, we're not holding no grudge. When we got on this side of Calvary, we found out it all belonged to God anyway. Let me tell you something, folks. Us Indians, you know, we got that same problem of diversion. You know why most of the time the white people didn't have to fight the Indians to get the land? Because us Indians got to fight each other. We got busy fighting each other that we forgot what we're here for and we lost all the land. Hey, you Indian folks, quit blaming the white man. It's your own stinking fault. Your relative's the one that gave that land. Well, let it be taken away from you while you're busy fighting each other. Hey, let me go a little bit further. Us Baptists, independent, King James. Amen. We're so busy fighting each other. We're so busy, yes, correcting each other. Hey, that the devil's gaining territory on us tonight. Amen. It's about time, folks, that we got back. Hey, where are we supposed to be? And get down and pledge yourself and just stay put. What am I saying? Stay put. Well, there's a place of safety there. He said, of Bethlehem, Judah. Well, two things there. It reminds me, even those of us who's God's choice servants, you know, who belong to the Lord, are not immune to trials.
Amen.
Oh, we don't have no crazy charismaniacs in here. Just because you got saved, your trouble's over. That's a lie from the devil. Matter of fact, Bible said, yea. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, when you get saved, you don't have to look for trouble. Trouble finds you. And you say, well, the devil don't ever bother me. Maybe you need to get saved. You're probably walking with him. You're probably on the same side. That's probably the problem you got tonight. But I tell you what, if you ever been washed in the blood, folks, I tell you, the devil's your enemy. And he might be the very reason why you're going through some things that you don't understand. But you know what? It reminds me, though, you know, that even though we do right, we can and will encounter trials on our own. The Bible says Bethlehem, Judah was a place called the house of bread, meaning it was faithful to God's house. There was trials and hardship, but it means that, you know, we need to stick with it and stay put. Amen. The house of Judah there, the Bethlehem, Judah. Well, that's a good place to be. Amen. Listen, this is a good place to be. Amen. This is where I've been blooded. Amen. It's where the blood was applied. Amen. I remember that old time preacher preaching on the reservation. I remember he was preaching on hell. And boy, I tell you what, all I knew hell was a cuss word. But that man was preaching by the place. Then he got over there and started preaching by heaven. He said, you could go there, sir. And I said, man, me? Boy, I tell you what, I got excited. And I got saved, and boy, I couldn't get over it. I needed to hear some more, so I came back Sunday night. Then I came back Wednesday. Then I came back Thursday for visitation. He said, don't you come Thursday night? He said, I got something to show you. Well, I thought, man, this Christian life's pretty good. I can go see something real good. Don't have to pay nothing. It's free. Got to the church. He gave me a bunch of tracts. He said, I want you to come help me give these people some tracts. Man, I thought, what is this? You know, and I started going soul winning without even knowing. But I got addicted. I got churchy. Amen. You ever get churchy? Amen. This is where you've been washed in the blood. You've been washed in right here. Hey, stay put. Amen. Listen, this is where you're going to be. This is where the book is going to be applied to you. Not only you can get the blood on you to get in, but hey, you need to get booked in here. Amen. Amen. Listen, in that long, lost world where we used to live, when they said you're getting booked in tonight, that meant that, you know, you was going to jail. But in this crowd that we're in tonight, church folks, being booked into a church is a good thing. Amen. You got a man of God that totes the King James Bible. Amen. And he just rears back and preaches to you straight, folks. You ought to shout around. Amen. You ought to say, praise God. We got a man of God that's helping me to grow in grace and to know the Savior. I'm glad I got a church like that. Amen. And then a while ago we were singing, you know. This is a place where God's blood puts you in. God's book keeps you in. But you know what? God blesses you within. Amen. Some of you shouting, hey, I've seen all them hands go up, you know, and some of you about run the aisle. But you know, still, there's people in here, Brother Mark, that's going to go home tonight and say, I almost shouted. I almost raised my hand. You might be washing the blood, and you might be in church, you might be getting sent under preaching, but hey, you haven't even blessed you yet. You're on the wrong page tonight. God was staring around. You still flipping through that page, trying to find where you're at. I wouldn't mind telling you, man, I got blessed years ago. I came to this place here 18 years ago, camp meeting. Man, I went home different. I got in my pulpit, and I just got stirred up. I was preaching to people about this camp meeting. And all of a sudden, God said, they haven't been to camp meeting. Shut your mouth. Slow down, big boy. These guys haven't been to camp meeting. They wonder what's wrong with you. So the following year, I loaded up a bunch of Indians and came out here. They saw it for themselves. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Now, you know, when God shows up, they know. The Sunday before we came, we got in that church, you know, Sunday morning. And I was at the altar, you know, praying. And I got up and the song leader was leading the singing of Victory in Jesus. And every time they said, I heard an old story, and they said, Victory in Jesus. And every time they said, Victory in Jesus, everybody would shout. Everybody was stirring around. Before I knew it, Brother Mountain took off, and he ran a lap. The whole place went crazy. And it kind of messed me up. I had a real mean message to preach, but I had to go and get another message. Amen. God didn't care. You know, he was still moving after church. Nobody wanted to go home. I told Brother Charlie, I said, we're still running on it. Amen. June, the first week of June had camp meeting this year. And man, I'm telling you, it got on. It got loose. Amen. And you know what? Our people are still, they're still pumping. I mean, that Sunday, second Sunday, we come to church. And some of you that went, you appreciate this, you know. The second Sunday, we went to church. And everybody was there except Jeff, you know. Brother Jeff, he come in and he kind of got in real light, you know. Wanted to sit down quiet in the back. And then just about that time, his cousin, Melton, turned around and he went, shh. And he remembered. Brother Chandler preached a message about the flat tire, how people get flat. And he said, I want to preach this hillbilly message. You know what it was? It was an ending message. The end is identified with every point. Amen. Including somebody coming over and letting your air out. I'll tell you, I got a blessing out of that. You know, everybody. And then Jeff, he came in and then they caught him red-handed. And then he was standing there. His face was all red. And everybody turned around. They all laughed at him, you know. And I told him, I said, teach you to come late to church. Amen. Notice something else here. He said he went to sojourn. Now that was a small decision. They got out of hand. It became a big problem. He intended to stay just a short time. When he ended up staying 10 years, he continued in Moab 10 years. You know, Satan's a liar and a deceiver. He says he can visit sinful places. Listen, young people. He can go and flip on these internet places. You can go and do what you want to do. It's all right. You're getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. And you and your family will never get infected or affected with it. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. I can tell you stories after stories. You know, right where we're at now, where we're at on the reservation, we got, cell phone towers. Before, we never had them. When y'all came to camp meeting, we didn't have to say, turn your cell phones off or leave in the car, you know. We never do that. This year, we had to do that. But every year, the last 10 years, we've been collecting stuff. Every time kids come to youth camp, man, I'm standing, I'm the bad boy. I say, what you got with you? Let me look in your bag. I look in their bag and I find CD players. I see iPods. I see I just grab and put them all on my desk.
Amen.
And, you know, they got all kinds of reasons for bringing it. And I've had them call their parents, you know, and say, preacher did this and they need to come get me. And here come the wimpy parents. I want my daughter back. I said, well, that's good for them. Amen. But you know, I want to say this. You can visit sinful places and your family not get affected. Don't fool yourself. You know what? It's just as wrong to stay 10 weeks, 10 days, 10 minutes as it is to stay 10 years.
Amen.
What are you saying? Yeah. Stay put. Don't move to Moab.
Yeah.
Stay put.
Amen.
You know, why should he not have left? Number one, it was unadvisable. You know why you shouldn't leave here? We advise against it.
Yeah.
Amen. Find your crowd. Get in. I found my crowd.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it has flaws. It has its problems. Why ain't nobody in the world ever done perfect and shot 100? Amen. There's always going to be problems, but you know what? I believe I belong to the crowd that's got the book, you know, close to the book they can. I believe we got the right book. I believe we plead the right blood. Amen. I believe, you know what? We run with the right brethren. I'm not afraid to be identified with some of these men.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. When they preach to you. Amen. When they say, you know, when they tell you stuff like, you know, be ate up with it.
Yeah.
I like to be eat up with it.
Yeah.
And he said, never say never.
Yeah.
Man. Caught myself last night saying something. God said, what did that preacher say? He said, never say never. God said, don't go to Moab. It's a land of idolatry. It's a land where there's a big mess going on. The dealings with the Moabite is not a good idea. He went anyway. But you know what? He went on a false message. And you know, you stop and think about this. Later on, it was when they come back, and Naomi was bitter. She come back, and the Bible says that God told her, there's a mighty man of wealth. I wonder how in the world he got wealthy in a time of famine. Whether it was already famine all over there, where even where Boaz was, that's not the point. The point is, you stay put and God will take care of you. Famine or no famine, God will take care of you. I'm sure everybody came to him. They said he was a mighty man of wealth. Folks, it's a mighty man of wealth that puts you where you're at. The Lord Jesus Christ. You stay with him. Amen. There's never been a person that I ever knew that ever got saved said, boy, I sure wish I didn't get saved. Amen. Everybody I talk to said, that's the best thing I ever done. That's Jesus saved me. I have never had anybody ever regret it. You know, it's unadvisable for you to get out of here and go out and do what you want to do because, folks, there's people following you. This man had people follow him. And, you know, some of them died too. Despite what you think, by looking at the circumstances, the safest place is in the center of God's will. You need to stay where God's at. Hey, if God cared for the sparrows, amen, I'm sure God cared for you and I. As low down unworthy as we are, God takes better care of us than we deserve. Amen. God's good to us. You know what? When Boaz never left, he prospered. And you know what? While Elimelech and his family suffered.
Amen.
You hunting the church tonight? You trying to find the best church, the perfect church? Kind of like that guy, you know, he said, I'm looking for the perfect church. The preacher told me, he said, don't go. I hope you don't ever find it because you're going to mess it up. That's about how we are, amen? Most of us are accident going somewhere to happen. It was unnecessary. Folks, if I lived here, I would join this church.
Amen.
I would literally support the church. I bless my heart to see Andrew leading singing. I remember when he was a little boy from this church. I remember Matt. Man, there are men in the church now. That blessed my heart. Brother Charlie comes out, he says the same thing. Brother Jonathan, he's pastoring Open Door Baptist Church in Winslow. That boy there, he was 7 years old when he came to church. God turned him out. Folks, you stay put. God might do something with you. Put you somewhere. Amen. God ain't done yet, folks. You know what you need to do? Surrender your pride. That's the reason why people are unsettled. They don't want to surrender their pride. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before you fall. Remember what Peter said? Depart from me, O Lord. For I am unclean. For he said, I am a sinful man. You know why he said that? He finally realized that Christ was right and he was wrong. You know, you'll never get settled until you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Once you get over that, folks, there'll be no problem. Amen. Listen, I have problems with my flesh just as like you do. Amen. I gotta bathe it. I gotta feed it. Amen. I gotta make it mind me. There's just no automatic switch on it. Everything needs maintenance. Everything needs to be maintained. But that ought not be the reason why we're not where we're supposed to be. If the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, if He lives in you, folks, you ought to mind Him.
Amen.
He ought not just reside in here. He ought to preside.
Yes,
amen. He ought to be in charge.
Amen.
He ought to be owner. Amen. By the way, Elimelech left. It was unthinkable. He said, Elimelech, what were you thinking? What makes us think tonight that the devil can take care of you better than God? Why would a rational person like this man trade the house of God, the house of bread, washpot? That washpot is one of the dirtiest places to be, amen? I'm the seventh of seven sons. Back in the old days, we didn't have running water except down to two wells. We run two buckets and run it back. I remember when Mama used to put that water, you know, in that wash tub. It's back to school time, and the oldest, Ernest, he'd get in there and he'd wash. And by the time Michael and Steve got in there, man, the water was as color as this carpet here. And I got in there, the last one, that water was black. I don't know why I got in it. It's black already. Probably to clean it up. But I got in that dirty water. Mom said, it won't hurt you. Just wash up.
Amen.
I hated it. I hate being last. Always, you know, always looked upon as unimportant. You know, but I'll tell you what, folks. It reminded me of that. It reminded me how dirty that water is. And sometimes I didn't want to go in there. And I just go wet my hair and told Mom I showered or I bathed. And I just fooled her. You know, I don't want to be in that water. And it was a lost little boy. Had enough sense to know that that water, that wash pot was not a normal thing to go to. We got folks tonight born again. I'm talking about washing the blood. And folks, you're spending more time in the wash pot than you are what God puts you at. You need to learn to stay put. You know, last one I would say is unreasonable. The order was stay put. Wherever God puts you, stay. You know, Jesus is not impressed about how much money you have or don't have in the bank. It's not about how nice your house is or how new your car is or how secure your job is. Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to surrender your pride. You know what? You need to surrender your possession. You need to just say, hey, Lord, what's mine's yours. Some of you, you're holding on to something, aren't you? You know, back home, us Navajos make fun of these shows, you know. They got this one called End Time. What do they call it? These people that are just stocking up stuff. And then he gave the interview and they went and said, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, no, that's a nut right there. I said, how could you be a born-again Christian? Christian and stock up stuff like that when you know that the book says the rapture is imminent. Matter of fact, back home, we got crazy. We did that during camp meeting. We had rapture practice. We heard that Obama did something bad, and everybody said, oh, Obama did something bad. I said, all right, time to do rapture practice. It encourages me when Obama messes up. When he does, it encourages me to go and do rapture practice. Because, folks, that tells me that day is drawing nearer. You know, it's unreasonable for us to get all bent out of shape over what's going on in the world. We need just to surrender our possession. My truck goes in this direction. My van goes another direction. And, you know, my vehicles just go every direction. People use them. And I'm driving my insurance lady in Phoenix crazy. Because I tell her, I'll put so-and-so on. Right now, my insurance got... Brother Melton and his son, Brother Elton, on the insurance. Then my son cut back on the insurance. And they're all driving vehicles any time. So they're on my insurance. And my insurance lady, she's just going crazy. Now who's driving what and what are they doing? You know, it's amazing to me. But you know what? We do that because, you know, folks, we just don't want nobody to go out there and, you know, wreck a vehicle. And then we got to be out holding the bag. So we're kind of reasonable about that. But you know what? I told people a long time ago, I surrender what I got. What's mine is the Lord's, and what's the Lord's mine. And, you know, you wreck it, you answer to God for it. It's God's, you know. And you know what? We need to surrender our profession. If you ever surrender your profession, you will stay put. Amen. Nothing going to run you off. Hey, that preaching is not going to... No preaching is going to be hard. Amen. No people in church, you're not going to have problems. You're going to learn how to get along. You know what? If you go ahead and surrender your profession, you'll learn how to stay put. Amen. God help us. Give some people that stay put in these last days.